Everybody say, first of all, as always, Hakaras HaTayev to everyone that was involved in making this beautiful bonfire this evening, especially Rav Ariel and the student government. Of course, the Mashkiach band. Special shout out to BZ, who made a last-ditch effort to come here tonight and be Mahana the Ilam, even though it's some of the Nira, the Hasma. Couldn't be nicer tonight. The weather is beautiful, and the Madura is beautiful, and the Ruach, the Chavra. And what are we celebrating here? Why is there music and good food? And Mirtz Hashem, after the Divrei Torah, we're going to have faster music and Mirtz Hashem dancing. We're celebrating a yard site. We're celebrating a yard site. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, the Heiliger Rashbi, Zchus Hayagen Aleinu. It's a very strange thing. The Chasam Sefer says he doesn't understand what this whole thing is all about, how we celebrate a yard site. Normally a yard site is a day that we, people are naig tanesim on yard sites, people are naig, they don't listen to music on yard sites, they don't go to simchas on yard sites, and all of a sudden, when it comes to the Rashbi, all of a sudden the whole Klal Yisrael is making these fantastic demonstrations of the highest forms of simcha. And I think it's the Rashbi l'shitase. The Rashbi wanted it this way. There's a medrash in Shir Hashirim Rabbah. Listen to this medrash, Rabbi say. The medrash says that once upon a time, there was a husband and a wife who lived in Eretz Yisrael, and they were married 10 years, and unfortunately they were not able to have children. And they didn't know what to do. They loved each other very much, but they had to have children. And they went to the Rashbi for an etzah. What do we do? And he said that you're going to have to get divorced. You're going to have to separate. And you're going to have to get remarried to other people. But he said, take my advice. The same way that when you got married with simcha and with music and with joy. The last Sudas Preda that you have together, make one last together, an evening together, and you're also going to be mesameach with each other. You're going to separate in joy. And they listen to him. And they got very good food and very good wine. And they celebrated together. It was like going to be their last night. And the husband said to the wife that, it's very hard for me to part from you. But he said, here's what I offer you. Anything that you want, whatever you want from me, take it. Take whatever you want from me. You can have it. And then we'll separate. And the wife was smart. She got him fashikud. She got him all drunk. And he conked out. And she put him in his bed. And she had people schlep him to her father's home. And when he woke up the next morning, he found himself in her bedroom in her father's home. And he said, where am I? She said, you're by me, you're by my father's home. He says, what am I doing here? And she said, that last night you said to me that I should take anything that I want. She said, you're the only thing that I want. So I took you. And they went back to the Rashbi. They went back to Rav Shimon bar Yochai. And he heard what they said. He heard the whole story. And he said that if that's the case, I'm going to daven for you now. And he davened for them. And sure enough, that year they were zeichet to have a child. This is the Rashbi l'shitasei. The Rashbi teaches us that when a person parts by Yesudas Preda, it need not be sad. It shouldn't be sad. It should be besimcha. It should be that everything that we do in our lives should be full of joy. Never looking for opportunities to get sad, to get depressed, to get despondent, which we naturally tend to do. The Yetzirah has this knack of getting us down, of allowing us to feel everything as so painful. But the Rashbi didn't see life that way. The Rashbi saw life optimistically. And he said that you should always part from one another besimcha. And because of that, look at what happened in that story. And that's why tonight, as we are commemorating the yahrzeit of the Rashbi, and the Rashbi left this world with fire, with the Zayar HaKadosh, we do it besimcha, because that's the way he would have wanted it. I saw once a maisa from the Rebbe Rabunim, one of the great Hasidic rabbis. When he was about to be nifter, his wife came into the room and she was crying. And he said to her, listen, do me a favor. Please, if you're going to cry, don't do it in front of me. He said, my whole life I've been working to die besimcha. That I wanted to leave this world in a state of joy, in a state of ecstasy, and I don't want to be brought down right now. There's another maisa with Rav Meir Shapiro. Rav Meir Shapiro, there's very few personalities in the last several hundred years that have accomplished more for Klal Yisrael than Rav Meir Shapiro. Rav Meir Shapiro was the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, one of the major, major yeshivas in Europe. It's still standing, the building. I think some of you have been there. A magnificent edifice that took years to fundraise for, millions of dollars. He had a state-of-the-art library, state-of-the-art model of the Beis HaMikdash, dorm rooms and dining rooms and flags and anthems. He made it the most spitziest yeshiva in the world. And he also, of course, founded Daf Yomi. That was his brilliant Einfall, his idea. And look, he saved Klal Yisrael with Daf Yomi. Without Daf Yomi, I don't know what Klal Yisrael would look like today. When I was a kid, Daf Yomi was existent, but it was still not popular at all. It was really not a popular thing, at least not where I grew up. And I remember if there was like one person, that one Gemara shir a week, that was like a chashav tzibur, that was a chashav kilav. You had like Shabbos afternoon, they had a Talmud shir for an hour in the shul, and a few balabatim came to it, that was chashav. My father, Olav Shalom, and had a chavrusa. They learned one night a week in the house, in my house, in the basement, in the office, and then another night they learned, and they learned also Shabbos afternoon in the house. And that was a chashuva thing. But it wasn't to learn Gemara every single day was something that was really, at least in the circles that I think a lot of people lived in, it wasn't a thing. So people learned. They learned, you know, maybe it took them a year to finish one mesechta, or two years to finish a mesechta, and that was about it. And those were talmid chacham in the town. And now Rav Meir Shapiro, because of this brilliant innovation, how many hundreds of thousands of Yidden around the world learn every single day a Daf Gemara and the offshoots, whether it's a Raisa or whether it's Amid Yaimi or Amid HaShavua, a Daf HaShavua, whatever it is, all of these came from that brilliant, fertile mind of Rav Meir Shapiro. It might be surprising to you to know that Rav Meir Shapiro was Nifter at the age of 46. All of these accomplishments accomplished by the age of 46 years old. 46 years old is a very, very young man. In fact, he was so young that he didn't even want to be the one to suggest at the Knesset Gedolah, he didn't want to be the one to put it out to Klal Yisrael, to suggest it, to introduce it to Klal Yisrael, because he felt, I'm a 46-year-old man, albeit a very, he was, you know, very famous. He was part of, he was at Rosh Yeshiva Chachmei Lublin, and he was on the, he was in the parliament, in the Polish parliament. He was like a spokesperson of Gedolas Yisrael. He was quite well known. He was a massive Talmud Chacham. He was a Rav in Lublin and in other cities before that. But he didn't feel that he had the power to even introduce it in his 40s. And he went to the Chafetz Chaim, and he said to the Chafetz Chaim before the Knesset Gedolah started that, I think the Chafetz Chaim, Rabban Shel Yisrael, you should be the one to introduce Daf Yomi. And the Chafetz Chaim says, I love the idea, but it's your idea, and you should introduce it. He said, but nobody's going to listen to me. And the Chafetz Chaim, by the way, this is the video that we have of the Chafetz Chaim walking. He was walking into that Knesset Gedolah, that convention where Meir Shapiro would introduce Daf Yomi. And he said, the Chafetz Chaim had this brilliant chap. He says, this is what you're going to do. He says, you're going to come in a few minutes late to the convention hall. By that time already, all the people will be sitting. I'll be on the dais, along with all the Gedolei Yisrael that are on the dais. And then I will motion to you to come in. When I tell you to come in, you come in. Okay? Meir Shapiro came in, a young man in his 40s with a full black beard, and the Chafetz Chaim, when he saw Meir Shapiro walking in, he stood up. When the Chafetz Chaim stood up, and all the Gedolim on the Mayetzah stood up, on the dais. And when all the Gedolim on the dais stood up, then the entire Tzibur stood up. And so all of a sudden they recognize this isn't another person. It's not just another regular rabbi. This is somebody super special. The Chafetz Chaim gave him kavod, and the entire Knesset Gedolah stood up. So when he came and he introduced this idea of Daf Yomi, everybody was like listening with bated breath at what he was going to propose. And sure enough, that Rosh Hashanah, throughout the entire world, people took brachas gemaras, and they started Rosh Hashanah Daf Beis, and whether it was the world of Hasidus, a lot of the Rebbes began Daf Yomi in front of all their Hasidim, and there was a run on Brachas Gemaras. It was very hard to find Brachas Gemaras. The Yekis were Mekabalit, and the Litvish were Mekabalit. All Tfutzis Yisrael, in every continent, it started catching on. And today you see what happens. All this took place before the age of 46. In his 40s, all of this was amazing. It's an amazing feat for anybody in their 80s, but to do this all in their 40s is quite spectacular. At the end of his life, he got very, very sick. Very, very sick. In fact, he couldn't speak anymore. He had like an obstruction in his throat. He was not able to talk, and he was only able to write things down on pieces of paper. I have books that have photocopies of these, a few of the last notes that he wrote. And he wrote in a very, you saw he was sick, his hands were trembling. This was the last night of his life. He asked to make a minyan in the Beis Medrash of his yeshiva for Meiriv, which they did. And then after Meiriv was over, he asked on a paper if he could please be moved into a side room. He didn't want to be in the Beis Medrash anymore because he was cheshish that he was going to be nifter soon. And the Talmidim were crying. And the Talmidim were starting to say tilim. And one of the Talmidim said, whoever wants to give more life to the Rebbe and take away your life and donate it to the Rebbe's life, say me. And everybody was saying me, and everybody was crying. And Rameh Shapiro pulls that precious Talmud over and held him by the hand and stroked his hand in appreciation for what he was trying to do. And then he wrote down on a piece of paper that let's make L'chaim. And they brought out schnapps, and they brought out cake, and everybody was making L'chaim to the Rebbe. And then he wanted them to sing a song. He was a great composer of Meir Shapiro. He composed many, many of the famous songs that we have. Utsu Eitz V'Sufar. Remember that Utsu Eitz V'Sufar was one of his most famous, one of my favorite songs, composed by Meir Shapiro. He composed a song, Becha Batcha V'Seinu. In you, our forefathers trusted. That was one of his songs, and that was the song that he chose. He wanted his Talmidim to sing that together at this very, very critical moment in his life. And some of the Talmidim were like peeling away to go outside of the room to say Tehillim because they understood what was happening. And they were singing the song, and they were singing the song, and then his wife was crying, and he writes one final note. And the final note was, Nar b'simcha. Only with joy. I don't want any sadness right now. I don't want any depression. I don't want any tears. I want everybody to just be happy. And the Talmidim were dancing around and around and around quickly and with joy. And Meir Shapiro was, his neshama was going higher and higher until it left this world in a state of ecstasy. This is the yesod of the Rashbi. This is a very, very important yesod for all of us, and not just Chas V'Shalom when the Yom Acharon comes, but every time that we have to part from something, we shouldn't be sad. This is graduation season, and some of us may be not coming back next year. Some of us are getting married. They're not coming back next year, I think. And we're going away for the summer. Even if we're coming back, we're going away for the summer. And there are a lot of reasons, I guess, if we'd want to be very sad and to miss Lander, to miss Yeshiva over the course of the next 3 months or over the course of the rest of our lives. But the real way that a Yid should look at things at a time of Preda is not to be sad and not to be despondent and not to look at what's going to be and I'm scared. That's natural. Of course, it's natural always to be scared at any transition. But in terms of your relationship with what you're leaving, you should always have tremendous simcha because we have gained so much. We have gained so much from our experiences here in Yeshiva. We've gained so much this year. We've gained so much this man. Think of all the highlights that we had throughout the year, all the many shmuzin and the vadin and the shabbosis, the yom tovim, the tishin, dor golding, all the highlights of the year, and every day in seder, and every day in shir, and every day that we're able to do what the Ratzon Hashem is, whether it's in limudei kodesh, limudei chol, first Seder, night Seder, Sundays, Tuesdays, we accomplished a lot. And we have to be happy about what we accomplished. We have accomplished more, perhaps, but that's not what we should be looking at. We should be looking at whenever we have a transitional period, look back and be happy. Always look back and be happy. There's always so much that we have gained from every experience. And this is the message of the Rashbi. The Rashbi is teaching us that all the joy that you see this day, this special day of Lag B'Omer in the world, I'm sure you've all seen videos in Beit Shemesh, from Beit Shemesh, from Melech Biderman, tens of thousands of Hasidim, and such joy, and such simcha. That's the Rashbi's legacy. That yes, I'm leaving this world, but I'm not leaving sadly, I'm leaving happy. I'm going to another place, I'm going to a different place, a new Madrega to attain. We go from level to level in life. We don't want to be stagnant. We want to keep on moving. La'elo, la'elo. We want to go higher and higher. And at every point that we have to part, at every point that we have to say goodbye, it's not a sad goodbye. Maybe it's a bittersweet goodbye. But it should be more underscored the sweet than the bitter. Because that's how a Yid lives. A Yid has to always, if a Yid lived with bitterness every time that that we would have to move or we'd have to have a separation, we would not be here as a people anymore. Because we've had to move so many times throughout this galus. We've had so many disappointments and so many partings. But the Rashbi got us through this galus with this optimistic attitude that we're leaving, but we're leaving b'simcha. We go from one place, if this is what the Rebbeinu Shlom wants, we go from one place to another, but we understand that it's going to be a step up. We're getting upgraded to the next level, and the next level, and the next level. Is it hard? Of course it's hard. But it has to be b'simcha. A yid lives b'simcha at every moment, and even at the moments that feel very difficult to leave. A yid lives b'simcha. A yid lives b'simcha. This is what Lag B'Omer is about. This is, you know, the most difficult period of Klal Yisrael's history between Pesach and Shavuos. The Talmidei Rabbi Akiva were nifter, but we have this little oasis in the middle of Lag B'Omer, in the middle of the Yemei Asir, which is called Lag B'Omer. It's a little island that we're permitted to have simcha, and the simcha is the simcha of recognizing that yes, we have losses. Yes, it's difficult for Galus, and we have so many hardships. We have to always look at the glasses being half full. Ashreinu matev chalkenu umanam garalenu. We're grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all He has done for us. And whatever is difficult in our lives is all part of the journey. It's all part of the challenge to make us climb higher, be greater, stronger, and holier a people.